Would you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Sing to the Lord a new song. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. One of my favorite psalms. It challenges you and me to present our lives as joyful offerings to God. So I ask, how can we shape our lives to become more joyful? What are the things we need to do to make our lives joyful, to make our lives new songs? I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I get feeling like an old dog. You know, an old dog. It's hard to teach this old dog new tricks. So how do we sing a new song to our God? In my last congregation, I asked our oldest member, who was 95, what's the secret to your long life? She was 95. Her parents had died in their 40s. Her siblings had all died before they reached the age of 65. Here she is, 95. What's your secret? I asked. She told me, well, for 6 months out of the year, I mind my own business. And I went, I must have given her one of those, what are you talking about, six months? Walked right into it. Yeah, 6 months out of the year, I mind my own business. And for 6 months out of the year, I don't stick my nose in anyone else's. Many years ago, Tony Campolo, lecturer, professor, sociologist, did a study of 95-year-olds. In the study, people over 95 were asked if you had to do it over again. If you had to live your life over again, what would you do differently? If you had to do it over again, your life, what would you do differently? It's a good question for all of us. What would you have changed? What would have made your life more joyful? A new song. Now, as you can well imagine, there were a multiplicity of answers from those old folks. But among them, among the answers, three of them were given most often and with the most amount of passion. If I had to do it over again, these 95-year-olds said, I would reflect more. If I had to do it over again, I'd risk more. If I had to do it over again, I'd do more things that would live on after I was dead. Reflect, risk, do more things that live on. Let's take those one at a time. Reflect, that is, stop and think. Consider some of the things we take for granted the first time through. They would take time for family matters. We often fail to spend time on things that are really important. And the older we get, the more precious time becomes. We fail to listen to people and reflect on life itself. We fail to be 100% present to the needs of others. We listen to argue back rather than listen to learn and understand. These 95-year-olds said, well, they would reflect more because life can slip you by without us noticing. I find in my life that the days and the hours and the minutes sometimes go by so slowly. The months and years, they're flying by. If I had to do it over again, I would reflect more. Thornton Wilder wrote a play that I think just about every high school has done at one time or another called Our Town. One of my favorites. It's done a lot, but it's still one of my favorites. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, you may want to cover your ears for a few seconds. Because in the play, the main character dies, giving birth. And in the afterlife, the spirits allow her to relive one day of her life. Now, imagine for a moment you get to relive one day in your life. Which one would you choose? She chose her 12th birthday and goes back and watches herself and her family live out that day. Now, the spirits had warned her not to do that. She does it anyway. And soon she finds out why the spirits warned her. as she watches herself. She watches her family live out that day. She's shocked by the fact that none of them seem to enter into the experience with sufficient appreciation. And she yells at her 12-year-old self and her family, even though they can't hear her. She yells and says, "Don't you understand? Don't you understand? You won't have this moment forever. You won't have this moment forever." And then she turns to the audience in one of the greatest lines I think that has ever been written and says, "Do any of you really live life when you're alive?" These 95-year-olds realized much of their lives were lives in which most of the time they never lived. If you want to make a joyful noise, if you want to live, my friends, reflect more. If I had to do it over again, I would risk more. Wow, living in the 21st century, every time we walk out our doors, it's a risk, isn't it? Yeah. But risk can be exciting. The 95-year-olds didn't talk about failure. I guess some things we thought are great failures, horrible failures, really weren't that big a deal. They didn't talk about successes. Some of the things we think are huge successes, maybe those weren't such a big deal either. Risk. You don't have friends if you aren't willing to risk. The fear of risk is rejection, and if you're afraid of rejection, you're never going to have a friend. Marriage is a risk. Being real is a huge risk. Visiting a church by yourself or in a family unit is a risk. Offering forgiveness, an olive branch, is a risk. The Christian lifestyle is a call to risk-taking. The Bible is full of people taking risks. Abraham and Moses and Ruth and David and Mary and the disciples and Mary Magdalene and the Apostle Paul, and the list goes on and on. If Christianity is anything, it's not a call to play it safe, but to risk. To live out our dreams of what we can be corporately and individually. And not just my dreams, not just your dreams, but the dreams that God is holding out for us right now. And to realize a dream, my friends, one must take a risk. To discover new lands, we've got to lose sight of shore for a long, long time. As a church, we're called to take some risks, not just to play it safe. Martin Luther King Jr. said, quote, "The church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. It must be the guide and critic of the state, never its tool. If the church does not recapture its prophetic zeal, it will become an irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority." End quote. You see, my job isn't primarily to make you all happy, keep everything calm, but to pour enough manure on you to stimulate growth, remind you of the gospel, to challenge all of us to look beyond ourselves and embrace our call to ministry in this community. And often that involves risk. Are we taking risks in this community? Our community here didn't have the explosive growth, the energy, and all the new members until we took a risk and hung a flag. So what is God calling us to do this summer? Congregations that sit back, play it safe, take the easy way out, usually die. Slowly, painfully die. And I believe God is still speaking here. And I want us to make a joyful noise to God. I want us to make a joyful noise to our friends as we move forward. And to do that, we've got to take some risks. If I had to do it over again, I would do more things that would live on after I was dead. More things that would live on after I was dead. When we die, are people going to read a list of our titles, organizations, clubs we belong to, or are they going to say what a difference we made in their lives? The valedictorian of my high school class joined every club at high school that was community-oriented, did helpful things for the community. He joined every single one. He had no interest in helping folks, didn't participate in one meeting or activity. He just wanted it on the records that he was a member and have his picture in the yearbook. Made him look good on his resume, he thought. Are we living life in such a way that we're doing things for people so that when we're dead, people will be remembered by folks who give testimonies of how we lived God's love and grace and inclusiveness, of how we loved kindness and compassion and walked humbly with God? So how are people going to remember you and me? Are they going to say about us, what are they going to say about us in the way we lived our life? If I had to do it over again, I'd do more things that would live on. For example, a pacifist at heart and an inventor by nature, Swedish chemist Alfred Nobel was the inventor of dynamite. However, that invention that he thought would end all wars was seen by others as an extremely deadly product. And in 1888, when Alfred's brother Ludwig died, a French newspaper mistakenly ran the obituary for Alfred, which called him the Merchant of Death. How'd you like to be remembered that way? I mean, Merchant of Death. As you know, that experience changed his life. Not wanting to go down in history with that horrible epithet, Nobel created a will that shocked all his relatives upon his death. Nobel's last will and testament left approximately 94% of his worth, financial worth, to the establishment of prizes in physics and chemistry and medicine, literature, peace, to, quote, those who during the preceding year have conferred the greatest benefit on humanity, end quote. 5 years after Alfred Nobel's death, the first Nobel Prizes were awarded and continue to be awarded each year to this day. The last few years of his life, he went from the Merchant of Death to one known by his good works that lift up humanity. What can you and I do these last few years of our life that will live on after we're dead? Well, if you haven't included the church in your will, there's no time like the present. We are here because of the joyful noise the generation before us brought about. It is incumbent upon us to make this joyful noise that we experience, to provide this for the next generations. If I had to do it over again, I would do more things that would live on after I was dead. If you want to make a joyful noise to the Lord, to God, my friends, do more things that will live on. These 95-year-olds were asked, if you had to do it over again, what would you do differently? They responded, I would reflect. I would risk. I would do more things that will live on after I've died. So, do we want to make a new song? Do we want to make a joyful noise to the Lord our God? Don't wait until the obituary comes out. Make that new beginning right now. Start that new song right now, because it's not too late. It's not too late to sing that new song, even for old dogs like you and me. Thanks be to God. Amen.